shepherds, of course, were a very important part of the culture, and so much of what the Bible talks about has to do with shepherds. You think all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph and his brothers, all of them were shepherds. Job, one of the oldest books of the Bible, talks about being a shepherd. And Jesus gives us multiple examples and illustrations about a shepherd. David was a shepherd. And God makes such a connection between the life of a shepherd and proper leadership. God shows us how He would lead us. He shows us how much He loves us and cares for us by giving us this imagery of a shepherd. And He also teaches us how we ought to be leaders, whether kings, presidents, and things like that, or pastors. In fact, the term pastor speaks of a shepherd. And so it's very important to know about shepherds. The sheep were very important during that period of time. It was a source of milk, a source of wool, a source of meat, and of course, the sacrifices. Israel, all of the people of Israel, had to bring their sacrifices year by year. They had to bring them up when they sinned. They had to bring them to their festivals. The whole Passover was centered around the sacrifice of a lamb. And even, I don't think I put it in here, but that was kind of an interesting thing that I came across when I was studying. Normally, when you would cook a lamb, they would boil it, and when you boil it, they would break the bones because you wanted the flavor from the marrow of the bone to be brought into the broth. And when they celebrate the Passover, he says, don't do that. You can't break the bone of your lamb when you're fixing it for the Passover. And so it was something that they would regularly have done. And God forbid them, because Jesus was not going to have any of his bones broken. So the whole aspect of shepherding and sheep is so very much ingrained in their culture. Some of their herds were very large. Job 42 and verse 12. Okay, so he had 14,000 sheep. A shepherd can properly care for between 50 and 100 sheep. So when you get over that, you have to hire somebody to help you. Or you can maybe take care of a little bit more if you had a dog to help. But once you got over 100, you had to have another shepherd or a helper. And so you think about that. Job was such a man that he had 14,000 sheep, which would have meant how many shepherds would he have had? What was that? Okay. That's a lot of people working for you. He was a regular businessman just with his sheep. 140 shepherds to care for all those sheep. And he had to care for all those shepherds. So we get the impression of how much God had blessed him, how much of an industry this agriculture was, and Job was in charge of all of that. Normally, the care of the sheep were given to the youngest child, the youngest male child. Now, we do have records, even scripturally, of women and girls being shepherds, but generally speaking, it was the youngest male child, because this was a great hardship. And you know, it would be one thing if you had an area where you could take your sheep out and let them be for the day and bring them in the evening, kind of like we used to do with dairy cows or something. You'd lead them out and you'd lead them back in every day. But with sheep in that area of the world, you had to find the food. And as the season grew drier and they cropped everything close to the house, you would have to go further and further away. And so you really wouldn't want to send young girls out to watch the sheep and have to stay out overnight and have to fight off animals and thieves and things like that. That just wasn't a proper job for girls. And so it was given to the youngest boy, and as a family is growing, as that young man grows up and his younger brother is now old enough to take it, he would give the job to the younger boy, and the older boy would go help the father with putting in crops and harder labor like that. And so one thing I did not know was that they have a special breed of sheep that was able to better manage those dry environments. When we think of sheep around here, we think of a sheep that has its tail cut off or bobbed, and we just have a certain picture of a sheep. But if you look at these pictures, these sheep are a little bit different. You notice any difference about these sheep? Their back end is different, right? They're called fat-tailed sheep. Although I don't see much of a tail, I don't think it was talking about their actual tail. They're being nice, right? They have a fatty lump behind their haunches that acts kind of like a camel's hump. Now, a camel's able to store energy in their hump so that they would be able to go many days in the wilderness without having to eat and drink. And so these sheep are able to do that as well. They're able to store up the energy and be able to last through some dry spells. And we see that this is the case in Exodus 29 and verse 22.
For it is a ram of consecration.
Okay, and you read that as an American who's seen sheep around here, you say the fat tail. The sheep around here don't have fat tails. What are they talking about? Well, this is what they were talking about. The fat tail was a fatty lump, and it was highly valued. You could take that and use it to fry foods and things. It was apparently, it must have been kind of a delicacy thing, very good eating. But it was to be offered to the Lord. They were not to hold that back. A shepherd was properly fitted out to be out in his environment. He had a light linen tunic that he wore with a leather belt around it, and then an overcoat of camel's hair. And this is the kind of the description that we get of John the Baptist. And that is because the camel hair coat is such that it would provide a lot of warmth, and it had the ability of shedding water. And so in the daytime, it would be hot. They could set that aside. But if bad weather came up, they could wrap themselves in that and sit right out in the rain, and their undergarments wouldn't get wet. Or if it was like dew on the ground or something, they would be protected from it. And at night in the desert, the temperature drops very quickly. There's no moisture to hold the temperature in the air. And so they needed something. And you're not going to go around carrying your suitcases with you when you're going from place to place as a shepherd. You just lived in, you know, what you had. They knew how to live off the land. They knew how to care for themselves. And one of the things that they would take with them would be a leather bag. And they would put their provisions in that leather bag and sling it over their shoulder. If they were only going to be out for a day, they might just take a lunch with them. But if they were going to be out longer, they would be careful to not eat up all their lunch in one day, right? They're going to be out there for a week or something. They've got to be careful to manage themselves. That bag is probably, when it talks about David and Goliath, and he went down to the brook and picked up the stones, he probably put those stones in that bag ready at hand so that he could quickly pull one out and put it in his sling. And so he was very accustomed to the equipment that he was carrying. A shepherd would also carry with him a horn of oil. Now, that was another product of the sheep. The male sheep's horns, we oftentimes think of like bighorn sheep, and they got these great big curls, and they ram each other. Well, these sheep didn't grow such a tight curl. It sometimes came out away from their bodies a little bit, but it would curl around. And when they butchered the sheep, they would keep the horn and peel off that outer layer of the horn, and they would heat it up in like boiling water, and then they would be able to shape it. And they could shape it into an actual horn. They'd put a little hole in one end, and they'd be able to blow through it, and it would make a sound. Or they could take it, and they would ram a piece of wood in one end of it, and then wrap it in a piece of leather and tack it so it would actually seal itself up. And on the other end, they'd cut off the tip and make a little cork to go over it, and they could even carry liquids in that. We think of maybe old pioneers that used a horn for their gunpowder. That's the same kind of an idea, only they would carry around oil, olive oil. And that was going to be very important to them because that was their medicine. If they got sick, or an injury, or if the sheep got sick, they used that oil to bring healing. They'd also carry probably an instrument, and most time it would be something like a flute. It was just a two reeds, and so it's very basic. They said it produced a minor key sound, and it'd be something they could put into their pack and have their hands free and stuff. They weren't burdened down with something. But when you're out in the wilderness for days and weeks at a time, it can be very boring. And you're just watching the sheep, same thing every day, and so you want something to do. And so they would pull out their little recorder thing and learn to play some music. There may have been some other kinds of instruments that they could have taken, but it wouldn't have been anything large. Seems like maybe a small harp of some kind might have been common. The shepherds had a rod. A rod was basically a club, and it was usually out of some hardwood like oak, and they would pick a piece that had a knot on one end, and you know, it'd only be about 16 or 18 inches long, and sometimes they would even drive a nail through that knot because they wanted this thing to be deadly. Let's look at some verses. The Bible talks a lot about the shepherd and his rod. Psalm 23 and verse 4.
They comfort me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the rod is a weapon. It's designed to do damage. Why would a rod comfort a sheep? Is the shepherd going to beat his sheep with it? What's he going to use that rod for? From predators and thieves and bad guys and things like that. Now, he actually uses his rod for a lot of things, but that is one of the main ideas, is that that's one of his weapons. The shepherd never went out without packing. I mean, he was always carrying. He had his rod, he had his staff, and he had his slingshot, his sling. And so he was always armed. Ezekiel 20 and verse 37. I will make you pass under the rod. Why would the shepherd pass his sheep under the rod? That was one of the ways that the shepherd counted his sheep. As they come to the sheepfold, or even sometimes right out in the open, he would hold that rod out, and because they do this such a regular, when they are going into the sheepfold and he counts them going in, they knew even out in the wilderness that when he holds that rod out, they were supposed to pass under it. They were his sheep. They were trained by routine to do the same things, and he's counting every one of his sheep. And if there's some sheep trying to get in there that's not his, he can push him out of there. But that usually wouldn't happen. But he's counting his sheep to make sure he's got every one of them. Leviticus 27, verse 32. Okay, they were supposed to tithe their flocks. And so in counting their sheep, every tenth sheep was supposed to be given to the Lord. So how'd they do that? They took their rod, and they would put a marking color on their rod. And I'm not sure if they just dipped it in something or wrapped a rag with dye or something on it. And they hold it out there, and the sheep are going under. And every tenth one, they bounced that rod on their backside and left a colored mark on the rod. And they knew that sheep was the one that was to go for the tithe. So every tenth sheep. You know, and it also is easy to count them, right? You only have to count to 10. And then you can look over the, okay, how many tens do we have, right? But that was how they marked them to go to the sacrifice. Micah 7:14. Okay, there, shepherd your people with the rod is... I think it's translated somewhere else to feeding your sheep with the rod. How do you feed sheep with a rod? That's kind of an odd imagery. This is your weapon. It's not intended to be edible, so you're not feeding your rod to your sheep. Well, as the shepherd had to lead his flock further and further to find food, and everything dries up, he then would take his sheep up into a mountain area where there's a lot of scrub, a lot of short shrubs and things. The sheep will have grazed everything they can reach. And then the shepherd would go through with his rod, and he would bash the branches of those shrubs and break them off, so that they would lay down on the ground and the sheep would be able to come up and nibble off the tender ends and eat the bark off of the branches. So he would, instead of trying to pull that down with his hands and stuff, he just whack it hard with his club and would feed his sheep with his rod. Isaiah 14:5. We think of kings as having scepters, and we remember the story of Queen Esther, and the king had to hold out his scepter to her in order to save her life. The scepter, they think, came from the idea of the shepherd's rod. And you could kind of see how that would be. Of course, it would probably be much more decorated with gems and things like that. But it was a symbol of authority and power. And that comes from that shepherd who is having authority over that flock and has the power to protect that flock. Psalm 110 and verse 2. Okay, again, the rod and ruling went together here. And I didn't put a lot of verses in like that, but we know that when Jesus comes to rule and reign on earth, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And that is a total authority over all of the world. So that's his rod. His staff. The staff was a stick that was 5 to 6 feet long. So it'd be as tall as or taller than the shepherd, because a Jewish shepherd would probably not be very tall. I think the average height's like 5'2 or something. So it's taller than he is. Sometimes it was just a stick. If they spent some time on that stick, they might attach some kind of a hook to it, or maybe find a stick that was specially curved around so it would be useful, so he can reach out and catch hold of a sheep or reach down and pull one up out of a ditch or something. So it's got that hook on there so he can grab onto his sheep and give them protection. But most of the time he just used it like a walking stick. A walking stick is an aid for walking, but it also is a protection. If you have a wild dog come up, you have your cane, your walking stick to, you know, scare him off. But it's also an extension of his hands, so he can direct. You reach out and point with it and push the sheep where they needed to go. If you come to a narrow spot and you got a sheep that's not wanting to move, you can kind of reach out and poke him. Shepherds in the Middle East led their sheep. In other cultures, they were driven. But even when they were leading their sheep, they would start off going out before them, but the sheep would get out ahead of them. So he would walk in the middle of the sheep, he might be at the back of the sheep, but those sheep would get out ahead of him, and then they wouldn't know where they're going. It's like, okay, we do this with our kids all the time. We go on a hike. It's like, you know where you're going? They run out ahead. They want to lead. It's like, we're going this way. Oh. The sheep get out there, and then they don't know what they're doing. And so the shepherd has to kind of give them a little push and a little direction as to where he wants them to go. How many times we get out ahead of the Lord? We think we know where he's leading us, and we're excited, and we get out ahead of him. Then we get distracted. We get off on things where we think we ought to go, and he's leading somewhere else. The shepherd had a sling, and I always thinking of a sling as a thing you put your broken arm in. And a slingshot's one of those you pull back and let go. But of course, that's not what this was. It was just a little shallow pouch on having two strings on it. And you put the little rock in there, and he would give it about two whips and let her go. And you release one of the strings, and that allowed that rock to come out of the pouch and go wherever he sends it to. Now, you'd think that would be not very effective, but it was a real weapon. We know that David used it to kill Goliath, but it was actually a weapon that the soldiers of Israel would carry, especially the Benjamites were very good with a sling. Judges chapter 20 and verse 16. At a hair's breadth and not miss. They hit their target. And so as a shepherd, he would be able to take that sling and sling a stone out there by that sheep that is trying to go the wrong direction. And he would shoot just past him so that it would skip in the ground and that sheep would startle and he would turn back in the direction he's supposed to go. He's so good that he can put that thing right close to that sheep but never hurt the sheep and direct him back where he's needing to be. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 29. Okay, she's talking about David here and a blessing, and he's bound in the bundle. It's probably a reference to that shepherd's pack that he carries. And then his enemies like a stone in a sling. And we think sometimes it's translated cast out in different places in Scripture. And we think of something that's cast out, you grab hold of it and you throw it out the door. But when you add the imagery of the sling, you're not just removing it as far as you can throw it. You are really launching that thing way out there. You're not going to find that stone again. You know, it's gone. It's kind of like shooting a bullet out of a gun. You're never going to see the bullet again. And so she's saying that David's enemies would be like a stone that is launched far from him, never to be seen again. The shepherd was responsible for finding food, Psalm 23:3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Now, I don't suppose that was the verse you thought I would use, talking about finding food, right? What about the pastures and the tableland and stuff? Well, part of the problem the shepherd had was to get the sheep to the right food. And if they were close into town in the spring, especially when the crops were growing, he would take his sheep from the sheepfold or the house and have to lead them past all of the crops and then out to pasture. What do you think that sheep's going to do when he comes to that crop? Remember, they didn't have fences. They had a little footpath that went between the two fields. That shepherd leads his sheep single file down that little pathway until he gets out past the crop. That sheep is hungry. What's he want? He wants some food. He wants some oats. He wants some barley. He wants grain, right? And you're walking right past all this perfectly good food. But the shepherd has to keep him in the right path and lead him out to his proper food. That's a little bit of a different imagery there than what maybe we had, would have thought. Isaiah 40:11. God's great care for his people. He will feed his flock. The shepherd takes great care to make sure that they have the right food, the right amount of food, and when food becomes scarce, he's got to do a lot of extra work to get that food to his sheep. water is a problem for sheep. They're afraid of moving water, yet sometimes they even had to cross rivers. And so the shepherd had to know his territory. And he would lead, if there was a moving stream, he'd find a place where it widened out and the water wasn't moving so fast and they would be able to drink. But sometimes they had to actually cross the rivers. And he's got 100 sheep. Some of those sheep are pregnant. Some of them have little lambs. And he's got to lead them through this water. What he would do, he would walk boldly across the water. And he would have a handful of sheep that had been so trained to stay close to the shepherd that they would go wherever he went. And they would go right ahead, right with him, into the water. But behind them are sheep that weren't quite so accustomed to following the shepherd. And they weren't quite as focused on where they're supposed to go. But since everybody's going that way, they go right along with it. But then some of them kind of get scared when they get out in the middle. And the water picks them up and carries them downstream. And the shepherd would just kind of know which sheep could handle it. And he'd allow some of those sheep to go, and they'd find a spot, they'd get their feet under them, and they would come out back onto the ground. And he would gather them together after he gets everybody across. But he also knew there are some sheep that can't manage. And so when they get across that water and that little lamb loses his footing and he starts to go down the river, the shepherd jumps into the water, grabs the little lamb, and pulls him out and up onto the proper ground, because he knows what that sheep can handle. And at certain times of the year, you've got these little baby lambs, and they can't cross the water. They can't handle it. He's not even going to let them try. He takes his garment, and he brings it up, tucks it into his belt, girds himself, and it makes a big pouch, and he will put the baby lambs in that pouch before he goes across the water. So he knows his sheep. He knows what they can handle, and he's careful not to allow them into situations they can't survive. And so we just have that picture, how much God knows us and cares for us, and he never allows us more than we can handle. Shepherds often use sheepfolds. It's an enclosure. They sometimes would just quickly gather some shrubbery and make a circle out of it and put the sheep inside to help protect them from animals. But as they're closer to town or to much more regular pasture, they'd actually build a permanent structure. And this would be 4 to 6 feet high, 3 feet wide at the bottom. They would bring in large stones and set them and then fill the middle up with gravel. And then they would oftentimes put sharp things up on top so that anybody trying to crawl over are going to get hurt. But as you can see in our picture, there's no door. The shepherd was the door. The sheep would go through, and then he would sit down and stay there all night. And he was the door of the sheep. Now, you can see in this, he used sharp rocks across the top, pointy, so that nobody's going to want to climb over that. But there were thieves, and they were determined. And when I thought of sheep stealing thieves, I was thinking somebody that wanted live sheep. They want to grow their flock. That's not the case. The thieves were not interested in live sheep. They would wait until the shepherd was either gone or deeply asleep, and they would hop over the backside of the sheepfold. They would have two or three friends with them. One guy hops over, and he pulls out his knife, and he starts cutting the throat of the sheep and then taking the sheep and throwing them over to their friends, and they would try to get as many as they could before the shepherd would wake up or before the shepherd returned. They didn't want to leave the sheep alive. And Jesus talks about that. The thief comes to kill and to steal. Let's see. We're talking about the sheepfolds. Sometimes they would put the sheepfold out in front of their house. And in bad weather, they would let the sheep into the house. You don't have, you know, not the 14,000 flock, but if you had a small group of sheep that you're caring for, getting your daily milk and things from, you'd bring those sheep right into the house with you. What's the last verse of Psalm 23 say? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I always thought that, not always, I mean, I've studied this years ago and understood this, but early on, I thought there were certain verses of that Psalm 23 that really fit shepherding, and then he leaves the topic of shepherding. But really, he doesn't. It's shepherding all the way through. He's talking about that peasant shepherd who has so few sheep, he's got to watch over every one of them and care for them in such a way he brings them into his house to protect them. They are always with the shepherd. They're never without the shepherd. See if I get some more ads here. Isn't that something? Those sheep had to be a half a mile away or more. And he begins calling, "My sheep, hear my voice." He knew that after that first group of sheep got there, he wasn't done. He knew right away. He didn't have to even count them. He knew there were more sheep that were supposed to be coming. And so he continued to call. Now, the shepherds would have a word or a phrase, sometimes just kind of nonsense, but it was the way they would say it, that their sheep knew their voice and would come to that call. Another person could know the same words and call those sheep, but the sheep won't come because they don't just know the words that he's calling them with, they know his very voice, the intonation of those words. They know it's him, and they come running to him. And so the shepherd, he's got to keep his sheep together, and he's able to do it sometimes just by calling them because they've been so trained. They know the voice of the shepherd. Oh, we're out of time. We're going to have to finish this up next week.